The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
Monday night, November the 22nd, 7:03 p.m. This has become my traditional for the third week in a row, what I call just wondering. I go through all the college football and talk about things that I'm just wondering about. They just pop into my brain. And if they pop into my brain, it means that they probably popped into someone else's brain as well. So let's start with the American Conference. I'm just wondering, is Houston good enough to beat Cincinnati in the championship game? I went back and I compared all their games, all their scores. I looked at it, and it's amazing the job that Houston has done, because they very simply weren't that good early in the season. They just kept getting better and better and better and better. And Dana just kept finding ways to win football games. And I do believe that they can, but I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering if Cincinnati, if Luke Fickell is a candidate for, let's say, the USC job, let's say the Florida job, let's say the LSU job, I'm just wondering if those athletic directors, those booster presidents, those college presidents, will they wait long enough if he makes it to the playoffs? Will they wait to the end of the playoffs for him to make a decision, or will they wait that long and let him coach the game? Because I can't see a guy making it to the Final Four and not coaching. I know coordinators have done that, where they've made it to the Final Four and then just left because they got a head coaching job. I don't really quite understand that, because you spend your entire career trying to get into a championship game, trying to win a national championship. And to me, whether you're an equipment manager, a graduate assistant, an assistant coach of some nature, I don't see how you walk out on a team that is in the Final Four and you're playing for everything that you've spent your entire career doing. I think that you can go back and forth, and I think that a university that wouldn't allow you to do that is probably one that you don't want to go to anyway. But I'm just wondering if Luke Fickell will end up at Cincinnati again, simply because the athletic directors, the search committees, the hunts, all that stuff, as they're not willing to wait because of early signing date, they don't think they can wait until January before they make that decision. Just wondering. And I don't really have a whole lot of confidence in the people that make these decisions, because they sure do make a whole lot of bad decisions. I'm just wondering if Sonny Dykes will stay at SMU, or will he go to TCU? Or is there somebody else in the picture that we don't even know about, that we have no idea that could be involved with Sonny? I went back and I looked at SMU over the last 30 years. And so when you go look at a program for 30 years and then you look and see what Sonny has done, it's even more remarkable. Sometimes we just look and we go, well, he won 10 games one year, and he's won 8 games this year, and you know, maybe he wins out and wins a bowl game, and maybe he gets back to 9 or 10 games. But, you know, who cares? That's a huge deal. If you look at the fact that in 30 years, they hadn't done it. So just wondering as to whether or not that he'll stay. I don't see that with SMU having no chance to get into a Power 5 conference and knowing what a competitor he is. I don't know. I mean, hell, I don't talk to Sonny, so I don't know what his plans are, but it's something to wonder about. In the American Conference, I wonder if Gus Malzahn will get UCF back to where Josh Heupel and Scott Frost had them at 11 wins. I wonder if he can do that, because this is a different program for him going into. I just wonder if Memphis is going to be patient enough to see whether or not that Ryan Silverfield can deliver them back to where they were before Mike Norvell went to Florida State. Just wondering. Just wonder if Navy is really got a legitimate shot at Army. I do believe they do, because I've watched a lot of their film. I just wonder if Tulane was so dramatically affected by the hurricane because they are in the city of New Orleans. And I just wonder how much that affected them. I just wonder at South Florida. I went back and I studied the history of that university and their football program. And I was a little bit off on my thought process, because I thought that I knew that Skip Holtz had been there, and I think Skip Holtz is a really good football coach, and what he's done at Louisiana Tech is remarkable. And I didn't think that he ever won there, but he did. He won early, and then he lost late, and they fired him. And then I got to looking, and Willie Taggart did a hell of a job, won 11 games, I believe, the last season that he was there. And Charlie came in. Charlie Strong went to bowl games 2 years in a row before having a couple of losing seasons and getting fired. So when you look at it now, and I look at what the coaching staff there is doing, it's pretty remarkable as to how bad they are. Because I've asked questions to myself, how can that program be so bad? Because they are really, really bad right now. So just wondering as to how that thing is going to pan out over a period of time. In the Atlantic Coast Conference, I'm just wondering what Wake Forest, what Dave Clawson's formula is. I went back and I looked at his coaching career, his coaching history, and I looked at winning 10 games at Bowling Green, mind-blowing. If he wins 10 games at Wake Forest, I don't, you know, again, Wake Forest is a small private school. I don't know whether or not that they have enough money to keep him if somebody else wants him, if somebody wants to pay him $6 million, $7 million, $8 million a year. Does Wake Forest have that kind of money to do that? But what he's done there is remarkable, regardless of how the season finishes. I hope they win the conference. I just think it's always good for football when an academic university that is academics, truly academics first before athletics, I always wonder whether or not that coach can stay. But what he's done is mind-blowing. I'm just wondering if Clemson will bounce back next year and be in the Final Four again, or is this just an awakening? Is this a sign of things to come? Is the Dabo magic gone? Is there something going on that we're unaware of? Because when you watch them on film, they certainly don't look anything like what they did. And can a quarterback make that much difference? Absolutely, a quarterback can. But Trevor Lawrence, with the offensive line that they have now and without the running back that they had, they wouldn't be a lot better. They might win one more game than they did. They might score a touchdown more. But they've got problems that go deeper than the quarterback position. I'm wondering how North Carolina State, I wonder what was the turning point for them when I go back and watch their first couple of games of the season and I watch how poorly their scheme and plan was early in the year to where after the Mississippi State game, they just flipped it. And they dramatically changed how they were running the offense. And the best, as I said, it's the best turnaround coaching job on offense of any program that I followed this year. I'm just wondering if Louisville's quarterback is an NFL quarterback, because he is playing lights out. He's playing so good that Kentucky better have one hell of a damn plan, because this guy is making plays. He's starting to look like that other quarterback from Louisville a few years ago, the one named Lamar, that is in the NFL with the Ravens. I'm wondering if Florida State's going to be smart enough to keep Mike Norvell, because I think they should. I think that Mike Norvell is the coach for Florida State. I think if they don't, and Arizona State makes a move, then I think Mike Norvell will be the head coach at Arizona State, which might be a better job, in all honesty, than it is. I wonder how patient Syracuse is going to be with Dino Babers. I love him just simply for the fact that when we beat them in the second year that I was at Middle Tennessee, we had the previous head coach up there, the defensive coordinator at Middle, a guy named Scott Schaefer. And I remember how classy Dino was after that game was over with, and how heartfelt his congratulation was to Coach Stockstill, and how complimentary he was to our football team. And then the next season, he won 10 games. And Syracuse is a difficult place to win football games. But they've had times in their history before to where they've been a little bit more consistent than they are. So I just wonder whether or not they're going to do that. I wonder if Pittsburgh is going to be able to keep their coach. He's done a hell of a job, won 9 games this year. He's got a great defensive background. I wonder if he'll even consider the NFL. The NFL, in most people's minds, is a much better gig than college for one reason, and that is recruiting. You're not having to recruit. In the NFL, you've got grown-ass men. Some people do better in the NFL because their personality fits it, and some don't. I'm wondering if Virginia is satisfied with where they are. They're really a weird team. They're a mysterious team that can look unbelievably good and then just absolutely horrendous. I wonder if Miami has done enough to save Manny Diaz's job. I hope so. I've always thought a lot of Manny. It's been a long time since I've had conversations with him, but thought he was a good football coach and a good human being. So I hope it does, but don't know. Miami's a tough place for anybody to go. Expectations are way, way, way up there. And the facilities and the money invested, et cetera, have not been the same as the expectations. So I hope that they do, but who knows? I wonder if Virginia Tech is going to be able to get Billy Napier. I think Billy Napier, of all the coaches that are on the quote hot list right now, hottest guys out there right now, I think Billy Napier may be the best. However, I think that they're missing, as I've said before, on the hot list right now, in my opinion, Bill Clark should be on there and Jeff Traylor should be on there. But Jeff, I think, has kind of made it known that he's fine where he is. The fact that Billy Napier has been smart enough to turn down bad Power 5 jobs, or jobs where there's boosters that meddle all the time, and supposedly he turned down Auburn, the fact that he was smart enough to do that, pretty mind-blowing to me. Hey, North Carolina, I just wonder if Mack Brown is going to stay. I know that he's already came out and said that it's all BS about the rumors about him retiring, but I looked at him on the sideline during a game, and I thought, wow, man, he just doesn't look like that he's that into it right now, and that may be just me. It might be me seeing something that's not there. I do know this. I don't know him. I met him once or twice in my career when he was doing television commentary, and I don't know if I've met a classier man. We had a great conversation about Spike Dykes. Spike Dykes is one of my favorite people in the history of college football, one of the best human beings I've ever hung around. When I was coaching with Sonny, anytime Spike would show up, I would try to spend 2 or 3 hours with him somewhere just to listen to him talk. And Mac and I had a good conversation about that, and I thought Mac was a really classy human being, classy man. I wonder if Georgia Tech is going to do anything. They've won 3 games, and they've had 3 win seasons, 3 games they've won for 3 seasons in a row. And I went back and I looked at Paul Johnson, and it's amazing, running the triple option at Georgia Tech, how good he did. Now, with that being said, when you go from a triple option offensively to trying to then go into throwing the ball, it may take a little bit of time. I just don't know if Georgia Tech will be as patient, and I don't know if that's the answer. I don't know enough about it to know. I wonder if David Cutcliffe is going to retire, as the rumors are saying that he might. At Oklahoma, I still wonder whether Lincoln Riley is going to stay there. He says he is, but I don't know. I'm not quite so sure. I don't know anything. I haven't got some inside scoop or anything. I just wonder if he really believes that he's ever going to be able to recruit good enough to ever be a real legitimate contender. He can get in the Final Four. He's done that before. And with the new realignments in football, he's going into the SEC in 2 years. Good luck with that, because he's got every advantage in the world at Oklahoma that will evaporate out the window the moment he goes into the SEC. I wonder if Oklahoma State, if they win out, which I believe they will, I wonder how the committee keeps them out. I don't see how they do. I do not see how they keep Oklahoma State out for Cincinnati going undefeated. I don't see that. But it'll be interesting to watch. I wonder if Dave Aranda will stay at Baylor. I think Baylor can come up with as much money as they want. And Dave Baylor's been at LSU before. He has. I don't think he's been at USC before. But Baylor might be the better job. Baylor might be the place if they'll come up with the money. No state taxes in the state of Texas. That's the one thing people forget. You take the USC job, you got a 13% state tax rate on people that will make that much money. So that's a gigantic difference for somebody counting on retirement and all that type of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see, because I know that Baylor has enough private donor money that they can come up with whatever they want to do. I wonder how Matt Campbell got so hot that every year he supposedly gets offered all these jobs and turns them all down. And he's done a hell of a job. Iowa State is a hard place to win, but it's not been just like the greatest in the world. And I just wonder about that. Sometimes it's just the agent you have throws your name out there every year, makes it look like it, and gets another raise at the school that he's at. I just wonder at Texas Tech if they'll keep Sonny Cumbie as the offensive coordinator. It's interesting. The first game, they beat Iowa State when Joey McGuire got named the head coach. Sonny's the interim head coach. Did a great job, won 42-39. Then the next week, they barely get 100 yards of offense. So just wondering how Joey McGuire sees that. I wonder, as I've already said, at TCU, will Sonny Dykes be the next head coach there? I hope he is, just because it gives him a chance to compete for a national championship. TCU has proven before that they could do that. I wonder at West Virginia if he's going to have to make any changes on the staff. Usually when you have, you know, a couple of years in a row that aren't up to expectations, that's the first thing that normally happens. I hope not, because it is a staff that I have three of my former players and or coaches that I coached, four counting Coach Brown, the head football coach. So I hope they're all able to stay together, because I know that they're all close and good buddies and all that stuff. And hopefully they're able to stay together and then make a run for a championship, as it should be. In a couple of years, with Texas and Oklahoma gone, it'll make it a little bit easier. I wonder if anybody can win at Texas. I'm talking about win as big as they want them to win. I look at Steve Sarkisian on the sideline right now, and I see a guy that looks to me like, what in the fuck did I do? How in God's name did I pick this job? I wonder if at Texas, when I interviewed there, somebody told me that they believed, now, there was no evidence to it, but they told me that they believed that their offices were bugged. I wonder if that's true. Could be. Who knows? Because information gets out faster there than any other place in the country. I wonder if Lance Leopold, after beating Texas, thought, I need to just quit right now and retire. Because can you at Texas do it? I mean, at Kansas, can you do it? Can you win 8 games, 9 games, 10 games like Mark Mangino did many moons ago? Well, the one thing for sure, with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, it should be easier, but you're getting some damn good programs coming in. So who knows whether or not you're ever going to be able to do that or not. I wonder if Ohio State, I wondered before they played Michigan State, would they be physical enough in the run game defense to stop a great running back, a team that ran all over Michigan? Would they be able to do that? Now I wonder, is Michigan for real or not? I've watched Michigan every game this season. I get, they're one of my teams I get the film on every year. I believe that Michigan could beat Ohio State until about 3 weeks ago. And 3 weeks ago, they changed dramatically offensively to where they went to no RPOs anymore. I mean, if they did an RPO, it was a screen. Earlier in the year, man, they were rocking and rolling. And it looked to me, because I don't think you beat Ohio State without scoring at least a minimum of 35, a minimal of 35 points. Even though Michigan's defense is good, the corners are good and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to play man coverage against Ohio State's receivers play after play and not get just absolutely burnt big time. The quarterback is hot, but Michigan's at home. That's an advantage. Man, they were also at home a couple of years ago when Ohio State scored 50-something or 60 points on them. So, just wondering about that. Wondering about Michigan. Please, 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 Coach Harbaugh, let Josh Gattis do his thing, man. Let him RPO. If you do it, I promise you, you're going to have a chance to win. If you don't, I don't think you got a prayer. I don't think you do. But who knows? You're a lot smarter than I am. I wonder at Michigan State, when they had $95 million supposedly on the table, supposedly he hadn't signed it yet, and then they give up 49 the first half against Ohio State, I wonder if they took the offer back. Or I wonder if they reduced it. Or I wonder if it was even real. I wonder if he already signed it. Who knows? I know this. A lot of people will still take Mel Tucker and be happy as hell. So Michigan State still better sign him. And for all these people I listen to, a radio show today, a national radio host. I was out in my car for a few minutes, and I listened to this moron just berate Mel Tucker and Michigan State and call them morons and idiots. I'm blown away as how guys get jobs and have zero knowledge. And this one particular radio expert out there in the world of national radio host has proven time and time and time again, he's very enthusiastic and he don't know a fucking thing. He knows nothing. He has zero credentials about football, which is mind-blowing. But he is entertaining and that's the most important thing. You don't need to know shit. Just be entertaining. Say a bunch of stupid shit and people will listen and think that you actually know what you're talking about. I wonder if James Franklin can get Penn State in the national championship hunt. He's a great recruiter, but man, something's missed the last 2 years. The COVID season, you can throw it away because there's all kinds of shit during that deal. You can just basically ignore it for a large part of the country, except for the people that were incredibly successful, like Nick Saban, and proved to be a leader during that time period, and the Northwestern football staff that proved to be leaders during that time period. But at Penn State, expectations, history, et cetera, are all high. I hope so. Hope the guy can do it, but who knows? I wonder at Maryland what they're expecting. What is an expectation at Maryland? What do they expect? Do they expect to win 8 games and go to a bowl every year? Because they've been pretty patient so far. So I'm wondering what their expectations are. I wonder if Shiano can get Rutgers back into the magic that he had them the last time. I don't think so, because they weren't in the Big Ten the last time that he created that magic. They were in that thing called the Big East that doesn't even exist anymore. I wonder what in the world happened at Indiana. Man, you talk about going off the rails, a team that was top 20, and then all of a sudden, just, man, they couldn't do anything. I would love to know the behind-the-scenes story of what exactly happened. That's the thing in college football. When I tell you people every week, don't ever bet college football, because you got no idea all the stuff that's going on behind it. NFL's a lot easier. NBA a lot easier. If you're going to gamble, those things are a whole lot easier than trying to follow college kids. That is crazy. I wonder if Wisconsin can screw everything up, or help everything by winning the championship, by beating Ohio State or Michigan, and then nobody goes out of the Big Ten. I wonder, as I said before at Iowa, I wonder if there would have been coaching changes. They're 9-2, but the offense has been terrible. I wonder if there had been coaching changes if it hadn't have been family. I wonder, Greg Brohm at Purdue is one of the best coaches in all of football. He was when he was at Western Kentucky. He still is. To win 7 at Purdue is incredible. To be 5-3 in the Big Ten is pretty damn good. If he can get to 8 or 9 wins in this deal, amazing job. I wonder if he's up for any of these jobs as a comeback candidate, because he should be. He's a really, really good football coach. I don't really wonder anything about Minnesota. At Illinois, I don't wonder a lot. I pretty much in my brain have it that I love that place. We played there when I was at Louisiana Tech. We beat them 50-something to 20-something. And I love the atmosphere. I love the stadium. I love driving into the town. I still remember all the little bars that you could walk to that were close to the stadium. I thought it was a pretty cool place. I thought it was a place you could be successful. I don't really wonder, but they're in the West. And, you know, but it's not Wisconsin. Belima won at Wisconsin big. I don't know if he can do it at Illinois. I don't know if anybody can do it at Illinois. I really, truly wonder at Nebraska, what's the right formula? I wonder if Scott Frost, is there an offensive coordinator that he could hire that could actually flip it? Because they're playing good defense. They're playing pretty good defense. I wonder if there's the one right guy, because he needs to turn it over to somebody, because what he's done has not worked. He needs to turn it over to somebody and let them say, oh, by the way, Scott, I'm available. I'll come out of retirement, leave Raleigh. I'm going to say somewhere around $12 million a year. I'll be at Nebraska tomorrow and hang around there. I wonder how long it'll take Northwestern to get back to where they're relevant. Again, they were last year. They played in the championship. I wonder at Western Kentucky, I wonder if they could beat UTSA in the championship game if they beat Marshall. It was like 52-46 or 56-52, something like that, the first time they played. I wonder how many people are going to know who Bailey Zappe is at the end of the year. Because I believe, and if you guys go back to Game 1, Game 2, Game 3, Game 4, every single week I have told you the most valuable quarterback in all of college football is Bailey Zappe. He is a machine, phenomenal, and he will be an NFL quarterback that will be damn good in the NFL because he can do it all. Doesn't have the best arm in the world, arm is good enough. Can't run as good as some guys, runs good enough. Phenomenal pocket present, quick delivery, no fear, tough guy. Wow, what a deal. And then I also wonder who's going to copy Western's formula, go find them a great FCS coordinator who, oh, by the way, just happens to have a phenomenal quarterback and 3 great receivers to come with them. Because Western Kentucky, they pulled that out and they went from being the worst offense to being the best offense all in 1 year. Hell of a job coaching by a head coach there, Coach Helton. Smart, smart, smart. Marshall, man, #1 defense in the country last year. This year, bad on defense. How's that happening 1 year? Not a good offense last year, good offense this year. How's that happen? How's all that shit happen? It's crazy to me. They fire a coach that wins 9 games but loses in the championship game. They hire another coach that comes in. And if he beats Western this week, guess what? They're champions of the East, and they get to play UTSA. So just wondering, Old Dominion, how far they can take that program. One of my favorite places, as I've said, to go play football. Man, I loved the crowd when I was there. Loved the facilities. Loved the fact that it is in a location to where that is all they've got to go see. I think Old Dominion could be special. And love to watch them. They've won 4 in a row now. Beat Middle Tennessee last week. I was surprised, not shocked, but surprised that Middle didn't win that one at home. I wonder at Florida Atlantic how patient they'll be there. Because, man, you know, during the COVID deal, like I said, you can kind of drop that, but they They weren't very good during that with Taggart as the head coach. And now they're 5-6, which is not up to the standards that Lane Kiffin or Howard Schnellenberger before him that they had set. If they beat Middle, they'll be 6-6 and bowl eligible. But for Middle and for Florida Atlantic both, especially for Middle, Middle's probably going to go to a bowl with 5 wins. Why? Because there's not going to be enough teams that are going to get to the 6-win mark. Middle's APR is going to be in the top 5 in the country. And so the way they rank it in going to bowl games, 5-win teams, it goes in the order of their APR. So Middle is probably in a bowl game already. If they beat Florida Atlantic, they'll get to 6 wins and for sure be in one, but they're already there no matter what. I wonder at FIU, people always say, who will take the job? Well, trust me, there's 1,000 coaches that'll take the job. Because why? Well, you know, if a job pays $800,000 to $1 million a year, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money. And there's 1 million coaches out there that'll take a job. Now, will a guy that's got a good job take that job, or a guy that's on an upward trajectory take that job? Hell no. Facilities suck. It's a great place as far as the location, but it's a unique school. It's a unique, the facilities are bad. The home stadium environment is horrible. According to the reports that came out after Butch Davis was fired, according to the reports that came out, they had to buy used shoulder pads. I mean, that's just, that's mind-blowing bad. So I don't know. I'm wondering if they can fix it. And will they do it? I'm wondering if UTSA gets to a New Year's Day bowl. They should if they win out. If they win this week at North Texas, which the spread on that is less than 2 touchdowns. So North Texas is playing better. They got a shot in that game. And if North Texas wins, they get to 6 wins to get bowl eligible. So it's a big game for them. Plus, it's an in-state rivalry game that gets there. But if they win and then win the conference championship and they're 13-0, they damn well better get to a New Year's Day bowl. They deserve it, and they're good enough. That's the other thing. Beat Illinois at Illinois. Illinois goes and beats Penn State at Penn State. Beat Memphis at Memphis. Mississippi State lost at Memphis. So they deserve it if they can do it. I wonder if North Texas can win 6, and God, I hope they don't fire Seth Luttrell. Man, keep him one more year. I just got a gut feeling about it. He's won 4 in a row. Keep him. Let him win the 5th game in a row this week. If they beat UTSA, I can't see how they would fire him, but they need to keep him regardless and let him have one more shot at it, because I think something's gone on there. I don't know what, but he's a damn good football coach. Texas El Paso, man, I tell you what, to win 7 games there, I love that place. I love, they're 5-1 at home. I loved playing there. The crowds are, you can get good crowds there. It's a beautiful stadium. It's a beautiful background. Just wondering how far that Dana Dimmel can take that program. I'm wondering if Louisiana Tech, if they'll bounce back next year, because this is really uncharacteristic for Skip Holtz. He's done an incredible job. Since we left there in 2012, he took over, and they did not skip a beat. I wonder if Rice, if the new facilities will make a difference, because the academic standards there are so high, very tough. I wonder if people appreciate what Will Hall's done the last 2 weeks. The head coach at Southern Miss played without a quarterback 2 weeks in a row, played the running backs at quarterback, almost upset UTSA there, and then beat Louisiana Tech. Played smash-mouth football, and man, Frank Gore's son, Frank Gore Jr., what he did, throwing some balls at quarterback, amazing deal. I wonder if Notre Dame is a lock now to get in. I don't think they're a lock, but I think a lot of people are going to be pushing for them. If everything happens the way that it possibly could happen, Notre Dame's going to be in the playoffs. I wonder if BYU, well, I don't really know what to wonder about them. They're 9-2. I wonder if they're going to make a mistake, as I said the other day, by going into a conference, because being independent has been pretty damn good for them. Army, man, I wonder if anybody will ever take a wishbone guy and take them out into another level of football at Georgia Tech like they did with Paul Johnson. and realize that nobody ever wants to play against the triple option wishbone deal. I wonder if anybody will give Jeff Monken a shot. And his brother Todd Monken, who's done a hell of a job at Georgia, obviously not running the triple option. I wonder if anybody will ever take Hugh Freeze again. I don't think so. I just wonder whether or not they would or they would not. In the MAC, I don't wonder a whole lot of things because I just don't know that much about it. I'm sorry if anybody listens from the MAC. I don't keep up with it as much as I should. I don't have any interest from the thousands of people that listen to my podcast. So I'm just not really sure about wondering about anything. The Mountain West, man, I wonder if Brady Hoke will ever get a shot at another big-time job. But I also wonder, why would you leave San Diego? Holy crap. You talk about a great place to live. Who would ever want to leave San Diego and go somewhere else just to be a Power 5 coach? So I'm wondering if Brady Hoke is smart enough to stay at San Diego State a second time around. I wonder if Air Force can get in this weekend and for the first time ever win the Mountain West Championship. I wonder if Oregon can beat Oregon State this weekend, get into the championship game, and if they do, if they get their receivers back, I'm going to look at their health chart, but if they play Utah again and they're healthy, if they're healthy, I may come out of retirement. I ain't bet a game in about 30 years. I may come out of retirement and bet on Oregon to beat it because the spread's liable to be 7 to 10 points if they play again in that game. I'm wondering if Oregon State is going to beat Oregon now. I said last week the game against Arizona State would tell me a whole bunch. I haven't watched the film yet. I'll be watching it tomorrow. So when I watch that film, I'll know what I think on that deal. I wonder if all the people outside of Oregon appreciate how good a quarterback Chance Nolan is. Chance Nolan came to Middle Tennessee. I recruited Chance. They played in our offense in high school. He actually had an offer to Boise State, decided to come to Middle instead, and was redshirted his first year, was in the hunt for the starting job, and made a decision that he wanted to leave, which was the good decision for him. He went back out to California, went to JUCO for a year. He was player of the year in JUCO in California, which is damn good football. Got to Oregon State, didn't even start the first game this season this year, and now he's one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. I wonder if Washington State's going to shock the world and end up at the Pac-12 championship. And if so, will they give Coach Dickert the head coaching job? I got to believe that if they do, that he will definitely get the job. I wonder if Cal can win their last two games, finish 6-6, and get a bowl game. 6-6 at Cal, trust me, is a pretty damn good deal. Go back and study the history of Cal football for the last 30 years. And you'll see, when you win six games there, you've done a good job. I wonder if the University of Washington has a really top candidate for that job. That job, when I was at Cal, that job at Washington was a top 10 job in the country. And man, what a great place to play. What a great crowd support that they have. I wonder what's wrong at Stanford. I just don't know. I'm just wondering what in the world has happened so fast. I do believe this. I make this point right now. Stanford, Cal, Rice, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, the top academic schools all across the football are in a huge disadvantage right now with the transfer rule. Why? Because you can't get into school. If you're at Stanford, if you're going to transfer from, you're at Alabama and all of a sudden you go, you know what, I want to go play at Stanford. Guess what? There's about a 99.9% chance you ain't getting into school. It don't matter if you're a Heisman Trophy winner. You're not getting into school. Why? Because academics come first. Same thing at Cal. Getting a grad transfer into Cal is almost impossible. It's very, very difficult to do. So as the transfer rules changed, and everybody else can go change their rosters overnight, very difficult to do at Cal. Very difficult to do at Stanford. Doesn't mean they won't get one in every now and then, but they're not going to get 12 guys in. That ain't going to happen. So interesting to watch that go down. I'm wondering if Utah, if they went out Does Willingham, does he decide to, our coach, my brain went dead with the coach there, Coach Whittingham. Does he retire if that happens? I wonder if Arizona State, I say this every week, I wonder if they're going to keep their coach there after all the stuff that they went through there. I wonder if UCLA scoring 60 points against USC is enough to keep Chip Kelly's job if he wins this week. I hope so, as I've stated numerous times before. Wondering at USC, is there any great coach, well-known coach right now that wants that job? They keep saying, well, NFL. A lot of the NFL guys can't leave till the season's over. Their contracts are different. That's a different animal. I wonder if anybody can win big at Colorado anymore. Georgia, ain't a whole lot to wonder about. The only thing I'm wondering, if they play their game every week, they're going to win. Nobody's going to beat them if they just play a normal, average game. They don't have to play their best game to win. If Alabama's going to beat Georgia, they got to play their best game. If Ohio State's going to beat Georgia, they got to play their best game. Why would I say that? One reason. Elite defense beats elite offense every time. Elite defenses beat elite defenses every time. So there's going to have to be something to happen in order for that to do. I wonder if Mark Stoops will stay at Kentucky. I know he's going to have some offers. Hope he does. I wonder if Tennessee can ever get back to the way they were when I was at Kentucky, where they were competing for national championships and winning national championships. I don't think they can, but I wonder if they can. Just wondering, because I know that back in those days, they probably had a formula that may not be usable today as to how they got those championships back in those days. I don't really wonder a whole lot about Missouri because I kind of know that there's a ceiling on them. Man, I tell you what, I wonder if Coach Beamer will stay at South Carolina instead of going home to Virginia Tech. And I think he made the answer pretty clear. He's been there at South Carolina before his children were born there. Seems to be the happiest guy in the world. What a cool deal that they beat Auburn as well. I wonder if there's great coaches that want the Florida job for this reason. Is the expectation so high that nobody can fulfill the expectation of what Urban Meyer did? Or most of the time, great coaches have huge egos and they believe that they're the ones that can go back and they can do it. I wonder why Vanderbilt's in the SEC. I wonder why they don't go independent. I guess I know the answer: for money. It's easy. I wonder if Alabama can put together a great defensive game plan to where that they could shut Georgia down and then score 21 to 24 points. Because I don't believe it can be the other way around. I wonder if Lane Kiffin will stay at Ole Miss instead of taking any of these great jobs that came over. Because guess what? Winning 10 or 11 games at Ole Miss, it's a once in every 10-year deal. Maybe a twice if you have the same guys back another year. But the quarterback he's got right now is special. He's a takeover, win it on his own guy. My guess is Florida, LSU, he would take either one of those. And obviously he's already had USC before. If they were smart, they would come back to him one more time. I'm wondering how long Texas A&M is happy as hell with Jimbo Fisher to lose 3 or 4 or 5 games in a season, making $9 or $10 million a year. And I wonder when the national media will quit saying that he's an elite coach. I wonder at Mississippi State, when they look at the records at the end of this year, if Mike Leach loses to Ole Miss and is 0-2 in the Egg Bowl, and his record is worse than Joe Moorhead's, who was 2-0 in the Egg Bowl, and Mike Leach was 3-7 or 3-8 his first season, and now he's 7-4, if he loses the Egg Bowl, I wonder if Mississippi State will look in the mirror and go, what in the fuck were we thinking? Or will they just continue on like the rest of the national news media does and automatically give Coach Leach a pass because he's interesting in an interview and there's games that he's going to throw for 500 yards and everybody's going to say the air raid works in the SEC and they're not going to look at the record and say, hey, this is about what we had for the guys that we fired before him. Just wondering. I'm wondering what Auburn's thinking right now. I would love to be somewhere where I could hear behind the scenes. I got a feeling I know, What they're thinking? They're thinking that this guy needs to win against Alabama. And they're already got an excuse because they don't have their starting quarterback. But as I said before, if you're at Auburn, if you're at Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Florida, South Carolina, blah, 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 SEC, and you lose your starting quarterback, your backup quarterback needs to be able to come in and win. Because if not, you've done a really horrible job recruiting and keeping the guys that you've got that are good players. You better know how to recruit quarterbacks. The way I look at quarterbacks is this. If you're at a great program, once out of every 3 years, you better hit a home run, knock it out of the park, good quarterback. Why ever one out of 3 years? Because if you hit it every year, every single year, then you're probably going to lose them to transfers because they're not going to play, because only one guy is going to play. Now, if you're at Alabama, Alabama had more strikeouts at quarterback than anybody under the sun until they finally went to this style of offense now, which they condemned forever. And then they finally had to go to it and had to throw RPOs. They had to do the stuff that we were doing in 2011 and 12 at Louisiana Tech. They had to play with tempo occasionally. They had to do all the things they said they hated, because if they didn't, they were going to lose to people that they shouldn't lose to. And now, all of a sudden, every year, they got the best quarterbacks in the world that want to come because they all want to play in that offense. And so now, every year, they've got a backup or somebody that is going to be able to come in and win. Stetson Bennett is the model to follow. Get a phenomenal walk-on that's not going to leave the school no matter what. And then you've got the guy that can always come in and win games for you. Stetson Bennett is an elite. Bennett is an elite quarterback. But I'm just wondering what the Auburn people are thinking. I'm wondering if they're happy now. I'm wondering what the Auburn coach is thinking about who he's going to fire next that he can blame. I'm wondering if anybody's ever gone back and looked, because these guys that announce their games that are told to say that since they fired the receiver coach, the receivers are playing better. I wonder if any of those guys ever have trouble sleeping at night because they're not telling the truth and because they're just telling what they've been told and they don't do any homework. They don't watch any film to know whether or not that's a true statement or not. Or do you just give them a pass just because you like the guy, just because he's a nice guy? I wonder at LSU who they're going to hire, and everybody in the world is wondering that right now. It's going to be an interesting thing to see. And then finally in the Sun Belt, I didn't give a coach the most valuable coach so far. I didn't do that. That's a horrible thing. Yesterday, I left the Sun Belt out, one of my favorite conferences in the world. The most valuable coach in the Sun Belt Conference is Billy Napier. Billy Napier at Louisiana right now. I saw them early in the year, and they were not very good. They barely beat an FCS team that wasn't even a good FCS team. They got killed by Texas, and as we now know, Texas was not good ever. Texas was not a good football team, as I said, early in the year. And then they just kept getting better and better and better and better. And the more I read about this guy, the more I respect him for what he's been able to do. So, I'm wondering if this year is the year that he finally takes a job and he is my coach of the year. And that's pretty much it. Georgia State, I believe they play, for some reason I'm thinking they play App State this week. I believe that's the case, but I'm not 100% sure in it. As a matter of fact, I'm looking right now, no, they don't. They have Troy actually this week. So anyway, those are all the things that I'm wondering, and I hope that you are wondering too. A lot of fun to do the wondering segments, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. Three, join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. Four, give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.